This is CliffCentral.com.
Yeah! We're on, baby. It's the worst, guys. Mark of Julie, Ria Bezesele, John Lamani.
In your fish.
And we are still in daughter.
Fish, yeah, we're still in daughter. I'm not a guy, he's a guy.
He's a baby.
What a way to start. Good morning to everybody out there. You are hanging out with the worst, guys. And you're listening to the coolest podcast in the world.
In the world.
Today's topic, we are talking about something very delicious. Because, you know, the worst guys were all about inspiring people to chase their dreams, to pursue the damn thing, whatever that damn thing might be for you. And the truth is, that does come with some difficulties. It comes with a few difficulties. And we, as people who have gone through and are still going through those difficulties, but seeing the fruits of our labor come to fruition, we just want to go out there and give you guys some tips on how to handle the struggle. And as the worst guys, all three of us face completely different struggles, which I'm sure any of you will be able to relate to. But what we're trying to say is that the dream is real, and the dream is something that you have to work for, sacrifice for, and give everything for. That's the most important thing. And through the hard times, these are the tips that we have come up with to help you through the day. Firstly, I'll start off on my side, because I think I took the biggest plunge in terms of, you know, absolutely having nothing, because I just couldn't do that corporate life, man. Not even for a second. Like, I would have rather died. I would have rather died. I know it might sound like a joke, but I was ready. I was ready to off myself. I was already planning suicide, everything, my boy, you know.
Yeah, no, I won't lie. There was one time when I picked you up at the Sasso Garage at Forest Boulevard. I was just like, your bag was more full than a person busy writing his dissertation. Your suit was Schwabene for years.
Yeah.
You were wearing sneakers, Vans with holes in them, and holding formal shoes and struggling to fit them in your dissertation backpack.
It's because I couldn't walk with those formal shoes for like an hour, because I had to walk for an hour to get to the taxi, where I'm still going to wait for an hour to get to the spot that I hate, and then I have to go sit at the spot that I hate for 9 hours, and then I have to come back, take off those fucking shoes that I've been wearing, and I'm this fucking suit, and walk back another hour from a place that I didn't enjoy. I was like,
there was a little bit of like a ray of sunshine, a little bit of hope in your eyes when you saw my car. You're like, yo, I don't have to walk home. I'm like, I don't know what gave you that conclusion.
Okay, yeah, mentioning that one, that's one of the first ones I'll bring about. Okay, transport. I think that is the biggest challenge as somebody who's pursuing a career in the arts, or, you know, when you have to perform late at night or at odd times in general. Transport is a very difficult one, because obviously if you're using taxis don't run at night, and obviously the danger factor. So I would say find some cool homies around you who've got whips. If you don't have a whip yourself, find some people who you know are willing to help out, man. The truth is, nobody can do any of this alone. If you're going to do it, you will not do it alone. Actually, that's the first and most important rule.
Make a team.
Find people. And it doesn't have to be your best friend. It doesn't have to be somebody you've known for decades. Just find somebody who loves what you are doing and is passionate and is willing to take the leap with you and is willing to go through the trenches, because there will be trenches.
Oh.
Believe that, there will be trenches. So you need to find people who are willing to go through all of that with you. Team, somebody who can help you out. And if that's not available, honestly, the people in your industry are your next closest friends.
Mm.
When it comes to transport, for me, particularly comedy nights, especially starting out a year or two in, if I'm booked for a slot, I'm going for the slot. It doesn't matter. My only responsibility is to get there. And the getting there is easy, because I'm not going to get taxi to town. I'll take it at 5 o'clock. I'll wait out until the show starts. So that was always easy. But the getting back is obviously difficult, not knowing where you are on the lineup. But what happened was that there'd be people on the lineup who live in a similar area to me, or would even offer lifts. Some comedians would even offer lifts, because they know the comedian struggle before you started, making it.
I think on that transportation, right, for myself and John specifically. Mm-hmm. So that's how you survive the struggle when you're taking taxis. But for us, mm-hmm. motorists, number one,
yeah.
I just want to get off my chest that I hate pedestrians. Y'all are some dumb ass motherfuckers.
Yeah.
The way y'all walk as if y'all own the streets.
Bruh, the entitlement is real.
Yo,
it's crazy.
I don't know who feels more. I don't know.
I don't know.
I dare you.
I dare you. If some serious shit, I'll be like, you know, touch me on my studio. Touch me on my studio. Like, hey, guy, just get out the road. I'm trying to pass. But anyhow, dog.
I don't know who feels more entitled, taxi drivers or pedestrians. They're on the same level. They're fighting for the number
same
one.
Same WhatsApp group, dog. We're the same people, right?
But for us, I think a tip from my side in terms of transportation, don't do too many trips. Or let me rather more specifically say unnecessary trips.
Because
petrol is cock expensive.
Oh yes. Oh yeah.
So what do you mean by too many trips? Like, let's say I have an audition at 11, but I also have to be at let's say a typical day in our lives. Let's think about that. Cliff Central, meeting, work, span later tonight. That's four different places that we have to be at.
You plan your day ahead.
Yeah.
Yesterday, we were already planning exactly how today is going to go down. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it might deviate, but you stick to the original game plan.
Yeah. But I'm saying, like, the petrol sacrifice is one that you have to make, or the transport sacrifice.
Yes, but I'm talking in terms of, like, for example, if I know I need to be at Cliff Central at 2 mm-hmm. when we need to begin our show,
mm.
right? And I also need to go have a meeting in Sandton, mm. right? I'm going to schedule that meeting after the show.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to schedule it or just before the show.
Yeah, or wait in the area. In the area so that you don't have to go home before you go to the next place.
I'm
not going to
schedule that meeting for 9 a.m.
Yeah. Your timing. Two. Yes, that leads us perfectly to the next one. The timing. This is something that is so crucial in how you are able to manage your time, because a lot of the times things just come out of nowhere because you're living on the outside. There's no real structure, right? Campaigns just come up. Creative directors just look for artists at any given time. You don't know when that will be, and you don't know when your perfect opportunity will be. So you have to be willing to prioritize what is important to you. Acting. If I get an audition, go to the audition. Don't miss opportunities. There is no missable opportunity. If an audition is there and it's been sent to you, go to that fucking thing. Don't believe that I might not get the part. It's not even about the part. It's about being in that environment. Who do you see there? Who do you speak to there? Those are the people in your industry. Those are the people that you need to connect with if you want to go further.
And that's how you build your own luck. But it's also different because, for example, you are a full-time artist,
mm-hmm.
all right? For John and I, for example, we're full-time employed, and the hustle is a side hustle until the mm-hmm. side bay becomes main bay,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, for example, John, how do you integrate the side hustle? Because you've got like tons of shit going on as well on your plate.
I don't know. Sometimes I ask myself that question, how the fuck am I doing it in the morning? You know, but I think the most important, the thing that's helped me the most is planning.
Mm.
Planning to the last fucking T. For me, I work on a weekly schedule, so I don't have like a month in advance to know, like, okay, this happens. You know, for Gela and everything else I know, but for work, unfortunately, I work shifts. So I need to kind of work everything out according to the shifts that I have.
Mm. But
so
you only get your shifts like a week in advance. Like, isn't that doesn't make that difficult?
I would know on a Thursday, for instance. I'll know
for the next week
how my next week is looking. You get what I'm saying? So it makes it a bit difficult. But the nice thing about me is that I've got certain things that are fixed, like my classes and so forth. So that cannot be touched.
Mm-hmm.
It's the curveballs that come in that make it a little bit more difficult. You know, when I have to go for a casting or some shit like that.
Mm-hmm.
Luckily for me, I work for an employer that understands and is flexible enough to give me the time that I need when I need it. You get what I'm saying?
Yo, that's an advantage and a half.
That's a serious advantage. But,
but that comes with disclosing it.
Yeah, you know, so for me, being open from the get-go, it doesn't work with every employer, but you're going to have to suss it out. You get what I'm saying?
Mm.
They believe in my dream. They assist me in working towards it. But obviously, at the same time, I got to pay my dues in doing my job and doing it well.
Exactly. That's what I was going to say. Because when I got to Louis, I was just like, yo, I started back in 2012. Work. And I was a diligent worker, one of the most hardworking niggas in the building. And I say niggas because, you know. But it got to the stage 2015 where now worst guys start. Now I need leeway here and there. Because of my history of working hard and being there and being present, they were like, okay, let's just cut him a little slack here.
Yeah, that's actually what I want to find out from you guys. Because obviously I have no ties to the establishment. But what does having employees do for your ability to, employers rather, for your ability to actually pursue the dream? Should people disclose it to their employers? Because I would say yes, but not all employers are as forgiving as your guys are. Or do you think it's because they see some sort of success, some sort of progress?
Yes.
Is that the reason that they see that it's going well?
That's what I think. You know, for me, I went in initially and I only told them like 6 or 7 months into it. Like, okay, cool. Look, this is the route that I would like to take eventually.
Mm.
But because I'm starting off, man's got to eat, you know? And they could see within those first 6, 7 months, or the first year rather, that, okay, this dude can fucking graft.
Mm.
He grafts for us, we can give him the leeway.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
I think so you bring up a very big point there. Yeah, sorry, continue.
Yeah. So then it was tough because, like, okay, cool. Here's the time that you need. For me, it came in the difficulty of trying to balance it all. You know what I'm saying? So I needed to get it right. And I'm still struggling with it, but I'm a lot better now than I was a bit earlier with it. So that's what I'm saying, where the planning comes into place. You know, the fact that they knew, and it was important for me to clarify to them. Because I'm like, look, I don't want you stopping other niggas if you want to promote them. You know, you want to promote me, put me in a position, and I can't do it. Look, I made it clear from the get-go, like, this is what I'm trying to do. You know, I'd appreciate you guys' help. And they totally understood. I don't know if it was just my boss being my boss, that we went to the same school and shit like that, but he
probably has something to do with it. But that's networking.
Yeah.
It might not even be intentional networking, but you've created a network of people who support you.
100%.
That's the team. You know, even you hear about this team and you imagine this, you know, like, messy squad.
Sometimes.
It's subtle sometimes. Regulars at our show, Tom and Azaria, they are part of the team. Shout out. They came to the newcomers showcase as a part of the team. So we show those type of people who are showing love straight back. You know what I mean? Because they are the ones who build you. Anybody who's in your corner, you gotta fucking keep, because it's hard out here.
Yeah.
So if there's anybody who's even thinking about supporting you, bring them on your team, convince them.
That's another thing. Gratitude.
Mm.
You know, When you on the pursuit of happiness, right, you're gonna come across some people who will believe in you, all right? Invest in those people.
Yeah.
People are, I would say, the best investment that you can make.
The only investment that you can
make. You know? And if you spend time nurturing those relationships, they will become much more fruitful for you in the future.
Yeah.
Best form of advertising, word of mouth. If I tell you something and you believe in my opinion so much, you're going to go tell somebody else who believes in your opinion so much, and the cycle continues.
Mm.
And it all comes back to where it stems from, which was me.
Mm.
Do you hear what I'm saying?
Yeah. I hear you 100%. And just to wrap up the employers thing, for people who do have employers, just, I think, disclosure is very important, because if it's going to be a real thing, they'll be unable to deny it, or it'll be obvious to them, and then it'll look like you're deceitful. So disclosure first and foremost, but prove to them that you know how to work. Don't just focus on your thing and slack at work, or they just need to know that you can do both and do them both well.
Yeah.
I think that's my experience in terms of employers. Even in the part-time jobs that I've done where, like, shit happens, I'm like, oh shit, guys, this is actually an audition, I can't cover for you. Then they're like, oh, okay, but we know you're not a fuckboy, you know, we know you can do your job, so it was fine, but we'll get you on the next time, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So yeah, that's one, just to wrap that one up. And then quickly, I just want to talk about genuinely not having money and, you know, having to get around and food and shit like that. The streets can feed you. Let me tell you that first and foremost, yo, you don't need no checkers, you don't need no man, you don't need no Ray Ackerman.
Hey, we all got levels.
We all got levels, dog.
We all got levels.
I'm a coco, but it's a maquina, love, FOS, boy. They can go get a maquina, sampaloni. What I did a lot of the time when I wasn't making any money at all. And sometimes still now, because the truth is about being an artist is that it's not always great in terms of your income. There's highs and lows. So that's also another thing. Saving, being able to plan your money ahead. That's something that I'm only learning now, because I'm only starting to get money now, yo. But at least it's coming.
It's hard for an artist to be, I'd say, money-wise, because nobody teaches the artist about how to handle their finances. It just gets thrown at them, whether it's lump sum or residual. And when you get to a certain level, it's huge amounts. I watched an interview where Will Smith even said after they released it, him and Jazzy J.
He was famous, but he was broke.
On a bus. Yeah. Like, it's a weird concept, you know what I mean?
But it's reality. With a lot of South African personalities.
Yeah.
I don't think, we got to take the position that you're in as a circumstance. Well, you know, as a leading light into it. I don't think generally not a lot of people know how to deal with their money, if we're being
serious. Yeah, in general.
I think it's just you as a person know how to handle it. And obviously if you're an artist and you've been starving and you get all of this lumps, all of this guaps all at once, you got to be able. Whether you're an artist or you in fucking corporate or whatever it is that you do, you just need to be able to use your guaps. Because you know, like, okay, cool. I have that feeling, or I've had that feeling of not having a damn thing. Now I have everything in inverted commas.
It doesn't last forever.
It doesn't last forever.
But that's a good point that you bring up. From having nothing to having something. And I've felt it personally, guys, to finally start making money from something that, you know, everybody told you not to do, was risky, was, you know, you sacrificed everything for, that you slept on couches for, you know, to finally see that real life manifestation, first of all, is an incredible feeling. So if you're down in the dumps and you're seeing flames, keep on going, because that feeling is unbelievable. There's no feeling for me better than walking into my crib with hands full of groceries made from fucking art. Like, it's the most incredible feeling. So keep going if you're seeing flames. But more than that, it feels like, you know, personally, I was like, shit, I deserve normal shit. You know, I deserve a pair of shoes that I can walk in, that I don't get wet when I'm walking in the rain. You know, I deserve a watch. I deserve jeans, you know, that I don't have to wear every day. Because it's those little things that you don't have while you're going through the struggle that people don't see. And it's like, oh no, he's wasting his money. And obviously, like, you also have that sense of celebration that you have. Like,
oh, you need to reward yourself.
Yeah. Otherwise, it doesn't feel like you've actually done something.
Yeah.
So what I would say, the best suggestion that I ever got is just make some sort of progress with every little bit of money that you get. So you need things to get ahead. You need a license. You need a dope laptop or a phone, or, you know, things that will give you an advantage going into the next phase. And then the next phase, and then the next phase. Just one thing.
Yeah. Get the next check.
Yeah. Whatever. So I'm not saying don't spend that money. I'm just saying, do one thing, you know. Obviously, there's the things that you have to do, rent, food, toilet paper. But outside of that, give yourself whatever you want. Treat yourself, but do one thing. If possible, two. Get a license, get a passport, get a P10. Be able to drive a truck. Get a lesson in accents or acting training. You know, do just one thing out of that check that you get. And then, obviously, the planning of your money is something that we just all have to learn how to do.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I don't think that's an artist specific problem. I think the artist specific problem is more of the fact that it comes and it goes. It's not consistent. So being able to plan that's kind of even more pressure. Yeah. Which is funny, because artists are generally bad at admin and planning and timing. But honestly, your planning, guys, that is the absolute most important factor.
Yeah.
All right. So should we do a couple of news stories just to go in, because I feel like we've had a great conversation on this. And please, guys, hit us up. If you have any other tips for the struggle or chasing your dreams, please hit us up on Twitter @the_worstguys or on Facebook, The Worst Guys, and Instagram, The Worst Guys, one word. We're always down to listen, and we'll always respond to you. All our fans know that we always do. But anyway, let's get into a couple of stories that have caught our attention over the last week, baby. Alright, it's the wrong song, but I guess we'll...
Extra, read.
No, listen to it, it's a new one.
Hey.
And it's hella soft, man, this volume in here is so low.
I think this is something they might have played at the royal wedding.
All right, anyway, let's get into a couple of stories. So a lot has been going on, man. Ashwin Willemse What do you guys think is going on there?
He went in and he did what he needed to do.
Yeah, seriously.
Like,
I didn't see the full episode, but
I don't think a lot of us did. I think we just caught that
the
part
clip. Yeah.
But and I think you need to catch not just the whole clip. I think you need to catch every single footage that he
100%. You see,
yeah, over the time that he's been, maybe they've been jabbing
100%. That's the thing. I was explaining this to my boss. You know, my boss, one of my boss, he was asking me, like, dog, what's your take? And I was like, well, obviously, I was, you know, man walked out and he had every right. Then he's like, why? And I was like, well, I'm going to explain to you because you're a white man, you know? But unfortunately, what he experienced is what every black person that works in corporate or that, you
that
know,
works,
in
that
the job
lives,
market, that works.
Yeah, basically, they take you for a boost.
Essentially, dog. Very subtle. I was trying to explain to him, look, it's more of a feeling that you feel. And you just go, wait a second, what the fuck just happened here?
And the thing is, they know they're doing it. Yes. It's exactly like...
But you can't prove it. I know what you did, but you know what you did
as well.
You
know what's the perfect example? And the winner of Movie of the Year?
Lala.
Exactly. Why? Like, and you could see, they kind of looked at each other and went like, yo, we're going to do this. There's no way that thing said La La Land. You know what I'm saying? I can't prove it. I can't see what the camera says. It's like, no, we got confused. They knew the winner was Moonlight. And even though Moonlight still won, taking that moment away was amazing for them. I can tell you now that we fucking got those niggas. You know what I mean?
Probably,
and that's such
it was just an error. Because
I don't think it was an error. Watch those people in that video.
If you watch that video again, the guy that comes up on stage with the envelope has got the wrong envelope. Literally, the old man before he announced, he showed the lady, like, look at this. Like, whoa, what's going on here? We've already read this name out. I think that showing
that it said Moonlight, but we're like...
Dog, the headline on the envelope was wrong.
All right. So then he didn't make him. It wasn't intentional.
Niggas 80 years old. He was like, what? He was just as confused as the rest of us.
It was
okay. I don't know about that. It looked very intentional to me.
Yeah.
Like an undercutting, because it's a big thing, dog. Don't underestimate the fact that it's the first time a fully black movie wins an Oscar like that.
I get what you're saying, but on a platform that big,
Oscar is so white. Hashtag.
I totally get it, but. Look, if we look at it before, dog, I don't think they would just be like, okay, cool, hey, man, here's a card, I'm just going to read it or whatever the case is and just blow shit up and try to steal the moment for us white people.
You don't think white people are capable of such evil?
We all know that they are.
That's what I'm trying to say. Willemser's experiencing that kind of thing where it's really difficult to prove. You know, there's no physical evidence of it, but 100%. It's there.
We know, because we're the ones that experience on a daily basis. So it's kind of like, I totally get why you did it.
Yeah.
What pissed me off about that situation is the fact that he just didn't finish it off with the muscle push.
Why? Yeah. I was talking to you, this other color.
That's racist itself.
What?
It's like saying, why didn't he steer color?
Now you're taking it. But like Mark at work, he was even like, nobody didn't do justice for this for the color. I'm like, how didn't he do justice? He stood up for what was right. He's like, no, he was meant to finish with a masterpiece. But like, honestly speaking, right? It's so subtle that they think we don't see it. But
yeah,
instead, for example, at work, nigga, let a nigga just be stuck and supposed to finish at 5, but he carries on because y'all want him to carry on. 30 minutes. 30 minutes, not much, right?
Mm-hmm.
Sharp. He carries on. He does it without complaining. But he can just come 5 minutes. Five minutes late.
It's a big deal.
African time, eh? Do you not have watches in your house, eh? Yes.
You know,
right with that, like the passive aggressiveness as well. You know, the sly little comments that come through, like, hey, guy, it's not that.
The difference
what do you
in the
I like the way you speak. You just told us about that
Dude,
yesterday.
It was so
yeah.
infuriating. Yeah. And, you know, the lady couldn't pick it up. She really couldn't pick it up when I was like, well, I've heard that a lot. Thank you very much. She couldn't see my face and pick up the sarcasm
in it. It's the worst thing in the world because, honestly, like, we speak English properly. We don't speak like, yo, P, I'm going to get the birds. We're going to take them for the beach rods. Yo, take our two toes. In fact, nobody should speak like that. It's not, we having a fucking time, eh? Boss. You know, we speak English the way it's supposed to be spoken, the way we were taught. And I'm tired of people coming to you like,
honestly,
oh, you speak so well. Yeah, dog. step your game up.
Yeah.
That's it, bro. That's and all it is.
You know what? It's honestly condescending.
Yeah.
Like,
it
fuck
is.
You.
Yeah.
You
yeah,
think
yeah.
just because I'm black, I can't speak English properly?
What else am I supposed to do? Didn't you guys shove this down my throat?
Exactly.
Isn't this the colonized education that y'all gave
Thank
me?
You very
now,
much.
When I'm like this, you want to come call me up for it? Fuck you, bro. Yeah, so, sis. That's look, the one I'm really sick and tired of.
I get it. You know, with this, just back to this Ashwin situation. I loved it, man. And it took a lot of guts for him to do it on national TV.
Mm.
This is your you know, you. This is what you do for a living.
Mm.
This is how you live. This is
yeah,
how you get
yeah.
paid.
And he's willing.
I don't know if he's got side pieces or whatever that gives him guffs on the side.
Yeah, yeah,
but you know how
multiple streams.
How hard it is to just stand up. Or how good he must have felt afterwards, because he's like, you know what?
Thanks.
For everybody else, is very difficult. Because we keep it and we're just like, you know, I'll put on a fake smile
because
this is my main source of income. I have to deal with the shit to get to where I want to get.
Way. Yeah, exactly. No. Sometimes you get to that point where you're like, I can't do this shit anymore.
Yeah, no, but bro. The fact that it got to that point should be enough evidence for us to believe him.
Yes. Oh, yes.
For us, for the fact that it just got there means there's something going on. Nobody just acts like that, especially he doesn't have a history of, you know, meltdowns or tripping out or doing anything ridiculous. So the fact that it got there should be evidence enough.
Can I tell you what pissed me off the most?
Yeah.
The female broadcaster was like, oh my gosh, well, that ended abruptly. I mean, and she was almost also condescending towards what he was. She was
no,
like,
she had to save the day. I think she has to save the day.
Dog,
because the
show
must
dog.
Go on. She can't make it a political
I
thing.
I understand. Mare, you must also empathize with the proud.
At this moment, you're on live. You know, like, at the end of time, you'd be like, Ashwin, we are sorry for what just happened here. No, ain't no time for that. Carry on.
The carry show on. Must go on. All right. Enough of that. That's all we have time for today, ladies and gentlemen. It's always a pleasure and always a treat. We hope you enjoyed listening to this. If you did, share it, tell your friends about it. We're the worst guys, but we're the best podcast in the world, baby. So now we're gonna wrap up with a word, guy saver, that we do every single week. We're gonna make a tune on the spot. We're gonna see if this thing can give us a bit of volume, Maxie, a bit of volume. And then is that low? It's too low, bro. Okay, let's make it smooth.
Hey, they saying we do ciphers. Hey, they saying we do ciphers now. I say they saying we do ciphers.
Mm-hmm.
I say they're saying we do ciphers now.
Cipher.
I say they're saying we do ciphers. Mm-hmm. I say they're saying we do ciphers now. Hey.
Let me tell you about the struggle. It's been so long. I mean, I take away the stress by hitting the bong early in the morning. I'm blazing my stress away. Come back to my place, baby. Just come and play.
Maybe
don't change. Give a fuck about what people have to say. I'm just doing what I have to do on this day to get further to the place that I'm going. Soon I'll be flying in a Boeing.
Ciphers now. I say they saying we do ciphers now.
Uh-huh.
Huh. What?
Ciphers now. I mean, we rapping with the crown.
Hey,
they say we doing ciphers now.
Hey, I say they say we doing ciphers now. Hey,
they say we doing ciphers now. I mean, we just rapping with the crown.
Man. We've been doing this for 3 years.
Bringing
people, the MCs, making them shed tears because they've never seen this in their whole lives. Ooh. They could never ever get this greatness. Like Prince Harry's wife.
Hey.
He just married a queen. He don't even believe what the royal palace has seen.
Hey.
Niggas in the Buckingham Palace. Nah. In the chapel. The whole choir so black. The whole choir so black. Everybody
Amen.
Had to say, oh my gosh, is that really? A black pastor saying things about the slavery that never lost it. In fact, it's still lasting on this planet right now. I see the way the people look at me in town.
Hey.
I see the way the people look at me in the streets. Mm. I see they looking at me in a condescending way. But
hey.
I say to them, I'm a worse guy, baby. So get the fuck out the way if you're trying to fuck with my pay.
Hey.
That's right.
But they say we doing ciphers now.
Hey, I say
they say we doing ciphers now.
Hey,
I say they say we doing ciphers now. I mean, we just rapping with the crown. Yeah, it's the worst, guys.
Oh, it's so wavy.
Thank you so much for listening. We hope you enjoyed the show. Spread the love, yo. We out.
This is CliffCentral.com.